That's right, chicken. Bourbon chicken. Today we meet Jen from Bourbon Bayou Bistro. Only the best and finest bourbon chicken around. Come on in and let's find out what she's cooking.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
Welcome to Dayton Approved, exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits with Dayton Discount Furniture. Today, we have Jennifer Roberts with Bourbon Bayou Bistro.
Yay, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Frank.
I was nervous. I was worried I wasn't going to say it right.
You did a great job. I might even have you when we do the commercial.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. You see, I like calling you the bourbon chicken lady.
I get that a lot.
That is all my friends know you as that.
I mean, even when people ask for my number, I'm like, you can just say me as the bourbon chicken lady.
That's what we like to hear, because I was telling a couple of my friends that we were doing this interview for Dayton Approved, and they're like, oh yeah, the bourbon chicken lady. She's awesome. I love her food. I was like, yeah, she's great. She's coming. We can't wait to hear her story. So
you want to be friends with them forever.
That's right. That's right.
They're a great friend.
Of course, of course, of course. Well, let's jump right into it. We like to start off with the mission statement. And your mission statement, what we've discussed, was you like to serve delicious Cajun cuisine specializing in bourbon chicken in a clean and healthy environment.
Yes.
So tell us, you know, why that's important. Especially because I know that you're mainly in a food truck now. Yeah. So tell us why that's important to have a really clean and healthy environment.
In the food service, it's very important because you're feeding, you know, the human race.
Right.
You're feeding people's children. My children eat there. So I try to think like that. I don't ever want to make anyone sick or be the reason, you know, anybody is ill. So I do my best to, you know, rotate and keep up with all of the health department codes and all of that. So,
well, yes, that's very important. So is it like with a food truck, this is a kind of a side question with food trucks. Do they make it harder to be like certified or clean compared to like a restaurant? Because I know you do have experience
in both. It's the same inspection that the restaurant would go through. Greene County is notorious for being one of the most strict health departments. Like when we go to a show and they're like, where are you from? And I'm like, Xenia. They're like, oh, Greene County. Oh my God, how did you do that? So it is. So, you know, and I'm grateful for that because they keep us on our toes and they make sure I don't ever want to, you know, not follow the rules and guidelines. So
of course. Yeah.
I mean, they're there learned for a lot reason. From them. Yes, I did.
Well, that's interesting. Cause,
thank you.
Yeah. Did not realize that. Now, with being in Greene County, I know this is another site. Now you just got me thinking. Being in Greene County and being a food truck, and if you go to like Montgomery County or Warren County or Clark or wherever, do you have to keep getting different certifications, or they just say, nope, we accept this county, we're good to go?
No, the only one that if you go out of state, I think once you get your mobile license, it's good for Ohio. You can go anywhere.
Interesting. Yeah,
pretty much.
Well, cool. Well, that's good to know. Well, yeah, let's talk about your story. You've got a fascinating story. I know you said it started in 90.
I would say fascinating.
Yeah, very fascinating.
I have a story.
Well, it's your story, and I love it. So.
Oh, thank you.
It starts in 93 is what you told me.
Yeah,
so
we'll
let's start
there.
All the way at the beginning and get to where we are today.
Okay. In 93, I was in the food court of the Fairfield Mall. It was getting ready to open. Everyone was so excited. Mm-hmm. That we were getting a mall in our area in Greene County. And I was there filling out applications, and I met a gentleman. His name is Hassan, and he owned a Taco Time there.
Okay.
And he hired me on the spot, so I dumped all those applications in the triage, and I started there the next day. And I opened with the mall. And I worked with him for 4 years, and then he changed the concept to Kelly's Cajun, which brought bourbon chicken to the area. Mm-hmm. We went to Miami and he got the franchise there. I had never heard of bourbon chicken. I wanted to get Arby's or Long John Silver's. And that was, you know, not a great, you know, but he, of course he was right.
Yeah.
You know, thank God he won that one. Because, you know, but I'd never heard of it, so I just wasn't familiar with bourbon chicken or anything. But
well, I mean, it was foreign. It was, yeah, it I mean, was. It really was. Nobody in the area had it.
I had, and then he said, let's just go take a vacation, and we'll see if anyone, what's going on down there. So we went to Miami, and we ate there at Kelly's Cajun Grill at the Aventura Mall, and they were serving hot, fresh food. I mean, these people were doing an amazing job, and it was so good. And we stayed for a few days and ended up leaving. He got the franchise, so we came back and changed it.
Wow.
And we started all that free sampling in the mall that you guys love so much.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I love the free samples.
Of course.
I remember when I was a kid, I'd be like, I got to get those free samples.
Yes.
And so, then afterwards, I was like, I get my free sample, and I'd be like, thanks.
Then you go turn your hat backwards, and you're like, they won't know this me. They'll get another one.
Yeah, and then I come back and get another. Exactly. It was, give me as many free samples as possible.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But I remember when I was in college, I mean, I used to go to Sam's Club. I had a Sam's Club membership.
Yeah.
Actually, it was after college, because that's when I was broke. And I was in Savannah, Georgia, and that's where I was learning, actually, the furniture business. And I would go there on the weekends, get the free samples and a hot dog meal. And that was my meal. That's how I survived. It was part of my meal.
Your meal plan?
Yeah. So the samples are important.
Yes, they are.
And people do love that. And I am so thankful for all the people that gave up free samples.
I need to do better myself at giving samples. I kind of gotten out of the routine of it.
Yeah.
And that was such a fun part of it, too, at these festivals and events. We would always be sampling.
Yeah.
So I need to be more vigilant at that.
Yes, yes. Free samples is always
it is.
You know, that's something that we could have talked about, you know, how you help the community.
We always offer free samples. If anyone ever wants one, just ask me.
Yeah, yeah. Who doesn't love the free samples?
Exactly.
Anyway, sorry, back to
No, no worries, no worries. So then we just kind of after the lease was up for that unit, it had been 8 years in the mall, and he was ready to move. You know, the rent was just going higher and higher, so we got out of that, and he just opened several different restaurants. There was Louisiana Grill, Bourbon Street Grill and Cafe, which is now on Brown Street, the UD area. He just opened a new one in Springfield, so it's doing really well. So I basically just worked with him for so long and just learned, you know, he taught me so much. He was a really great mentor for me.
Yeah.
So there would be times when I can remember now when I would be talking, you know, and not paying attention. And he'd be like, Jennifer, you know, you got to learn this. You're going to have to know this someday, you know, so get over here. And I would kind of be frustrated at the time, but now I'm so grateful for that. So,
yeah.
Because he taught me everything I know. So I'm just very grateful.
Yeah.
So, but, and then like, just after a while, I just decided my kids were getting older and he was in a good place and had, you know, good help. So, I just decided it was maybe time to go on my own. And I kind of already always told him that, you know, I wanted, my dream was to go on my own. Yeah. So that's what happened, but
How long ago was that? So when did you officially go on your own?
In 2017, I think.
2017. So you got to think 93 to 17.
Yeah, it was a long journey.
Yeah, that you were not on your own, and you had that long to learn.
Yeah.
The whole ordeal.
Oh, it was so scary, and I was, you know, because I went from all that job security.
Yeah.
To. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, on your own.
Let me take what little savings I have and try to see what I can do. And, you know, there were so many things that he had done in the background that I didn't realize.
Right.
You
right.
know, like
yeah,
all
you
the administrative stuff.
Yeah, you had to learn on the fly.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it gave me a whole newfound respect for the stuff that he did that I didn't realize, you know, all of the stuff. You know, filling out contracts, going to the health department, getting all the permits, keeping up with all the paperwork that you know, has entails and all of that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's never ending.
No, I know. Believe me, I do. I know. That's why I have all those emails I have.
So 17 is when you started it, and then here you are now, I guess you could say.
Yep, yep.
So what happened though? Did you get you got a truck then, or how did you start off on your
own? Started in a tent.
In a tent.
Yeah,
okay.
I started at the Family Video here when it was Family Video.
Yeah.
At the
you know, I think I remember
area.
I think I remember that. Yep, yeah.
Yeah. I started in a tin. I had an old beat-up green pickup truck at the time, so we would just lift everything up into that pickup truck. And I was so determined that nothing was going to stop me. So I, you know, worked really, really hard. And then I started to buy a building in Xenia, and it was an old donut shop called Stan's Donut. Stan the Donut Man.
Yeah, Stan the Man.
Yeah. So I got that, and I was there for 4 years, but it needed a hood, and it was just going to be so expensive. And I, when I started this, I promised myself I wouldn't go in debt. So I never wanted to get any type of loans or anything because, you know, I'm a single mom, so I don't want to ever have that hanging over my head.
Right.
And so once I started to, you know, really be real with myself and be like, what's the reality of you saving all of this money to get this done, plus keep your household supported, keep this business still going with supplies and paying employees. And I, you know, thought, it's going to be a while, so I don't want to be in the parking lot for this long. And if I am, I don't want to pay $1,500 a month to do that.
Right.
So I, you know, decided I didn't want to do that anymore. And it now is Glazed Donuts in Xenia. They do really good there. So I had gotten the food truck, like, from one bistro.
Yeah.
They had contacted me, great group of people there. They had contacted me and asked me if I'd be interested in purchasing a food truck they had that was like for missions. And I didn't think I would have the money to buy it. You know what I mean? It's a pretty big food truck.
Right.
But they gave it to me at a really, really good price. And they liked my story. They drove by me every day. They would see me digging myself out of the snow.
Yeah.
My tent, you know, collapsing again from rain or snow or some type of wind. And so she said that, you know, they just talked among themselves and decided that maybe the food truck should go to me. And it was such a blessing at the time. And I still didn't have the money to buy the food truck, honestly. I had my kids' godparents, Woody and Sherry Smith. They helped me buy the food truck, and then I paid it off
throughout. Oh wow.
Yeah. So it's paid off now.
Yeah.
And everything's going good. It's an amazing machine. I love that food truck.
Yeah. It's
I'm very grateful.
It's an ends to a mean there.
It is.
So that's awesome.
It is. And then it's hard work, but once you get the routine down, it goes really good.
So then I know you had the food truck, and then you had a place here in Fairborn.
Yes, I did.
For a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that was for about how many years?
4 years.
4 years.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's crazy how fast time
it went
goes.
By really fast.
It felt like two.
It did. It went by really fast.
And then just recently you are now back in the truck.
I am, yeah. I didn't love the restaurant thing. I did it for so long, and I feel like even with all the challenges of being outside, the winter, the, you know, rain, all that stuff, it's just more, I can't say it. I feel much more positive now. I just feel like the weight of the world is lifted off my shoulders. Yeah. I mean, it's a big responsibility to have a brick and mortar.
Oh, for sure. It's a different beast, I guess you could say. It's a different animal.
Especially when it's not your building.
Yeah.
So it was just tough making so many costly repairs and it not being something that, you know, I could keep forever.
Yeah,
so I just kind of got tired of that too.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, cost of business, unfortunately.
Yes.
That's like, man, this is another cost.
Well, but it just wasn't what I had signed up for and what I was under the impression it was turnkey, and it just wasn't.
Yeah.
It did not end up being that. So from the beginning, it was
it
just started off real not good.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the stigma just went with that. So
yeah.
I was grateful to get out from under it and start over, start fresh, new part of my journey.
Well, that's great. I mean, I'm glad that you're here now in this part of the journey.
Me too.
Like I said, it's a phenomenal, amazing story.
Thank you.
The Bourbon Chicken Lady.
No. I know, right? That's me.
That's right.
Hit me up when you call in your order.
That's right. You'll answer the phone.
That's right. In this voice. No, I'm just kidding. they're going to just call just to hear that now. Yeah, you know what yeah, I mean? Then go. They're going to hang up on me.
Bourbon chicken lady here.
Right.
Well, let's keep on moving then. So how does your business contribute to the local community economy? So I know we talked briefly about that, and the first thing is with different events.
I do. I try to do all of the events. A lot of them I wasn't able to get into this year because it was so late when in the season when I finally mm-hmm. started to get my footing and get a routine going. Also, I have a very loud generator.
Yes.
And a lot of the events now are wanting you to have a quiet generator.
Yeah.
And which I didn't realize until I got the loud generator. And so I just kind of felt bad. I didn't want to, you know, dampen anybody else's thing, you know, with my loud generator. The people next door can't hear to, you know, do their thing. So next year I'm going to come back with a, you know, full force and with my quiet generator.
There you go.
And so I'll do even more of the events next year. So I try to do that. And I just try to do things whenever I hear somebody's having some type of event, like Sugar Melons with the pig roast. I donated a basket that they could auction off for Toys for Tots, I think was the thing. And I have a little employee that works there. She sells her crochet items. So that gives her an outlet to do that. So she can try to, I guess, build her little entrepreneur soul, you know, try to feed that. And she does really well, actually. She's trying to save to get her own car. So I just try to, you know, do what I can. I'm super busy, so unfortunately I don't get to do a lot. But
no, I know you're super busy. I appreciate you being here today.
Yeah, sure.
So I know that is very true. That is very true. Well, that's cool. So, yeah, I know that different events. What are some of the events that you have done in the past and you plan on doing in the future? I guess just kind of name them off.
I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
I do the 4th of July fireworks. I do the block party usually. I do the blues and bluegrass show here.
Okay.
I do want to get into the Sweet Corn Festival. It was just so late in the season that I couldn't get into that one. But I do a lot of the Xenia food truck rallies. I did the Dave Chappelle 50 Cent concert that was at the clubhouse. I'm basically famous now. and I know people, I'm just going to say. But so many events. And I plan to, I'm going to try to do them all next year if I can. So just let me invest a little money into this food truck and get, you know, even more of a footing. And then I'll come back full force.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. That's very exciting. Yeah, I know there's a lot of different festivals going on.
Oh, there's so many now.
And I can imagine, like, you could just probably hit one up almost every day.
Oh, yeah. And food truck rallies now are so huge. So, I mean, it seems like every week, one town or another is having one. So there's always somewhere to get in there.
Yeah, exactly. Always somewhere to say. That's right.
And I'm going
to
get in where I can fit in.
That's right.
I mean.
Oh, that's funny. Now, what are some of the different Fairborn businesses that you deal with? I know that you deal with us, Dayton Discount Furniture.
Yes, I do. I deal with Sugar Melons, which is around the corner, up down the street and around the corner here. So many great people there. The vibe there is amazing.
Yeah.
I had no clue how many, you know, amazing people I would meet there. They're like a big family there. It's so crazy. And so I'm so grateful to be a part of now. And the guys at Exclusive Automotive Detailing, John, he's an amazing guy. He's always offered to help. And is there anything he can do to help me out and everything? And Heath and Heath's dad, Dave, they're just always offering to help make me decals for my food truck and everything.
Yeah.
They're just so kind.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful. So I always want to give them a shout out when I can on Facebook and help the, you know, they're just local businesses as well, like me. So try to stay with the local smaller businesses that can, you know.
Well, no, that's cool. Those are some good guys. I know actually all those people as well. So
awesome.
They are good people.
Sugar
Melons is a great spot. I definitely enjoy going there, and I never had a problem going there.
No, such a nice, you know, laid back environment.
Yeah, yeah. And they actually remodeled it, redid it.
Yeah.
during COVID. So, like, when they were shut down, they actually used that time to invest in it and remodel. So, it actually looks nice again.
It does. Yeah, it does. So. Looks great.
Yes. So, yeah, let's move on to our next point, which is what sets your business apart from others in the area? So, one of the things you said was the ingredients you shop for.
Yes, I do. I shop locally for the ingredients, and I do go every other day. I don't buy bulk produce or anything like that. So we cut fresh every day. So I just try my hardest to keep it as fresh as possible. We cook to order a lot, so you may have a little longer of a wait, but hopefully people understand that we're not a fast food chain. Right. We just try to cook fresh food fast.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't always work out that way, but we try our hardest. So I feel like people a lot of times are grateful for that. They see the hard work we do, and they're willing to wait. We have so many great customers. It is very rare that we have one, you know, that's upset.
Right.
So.
Yeah, people understand that it's worth waiting.
They do, and they like the make-to-order thing.
Yeah.
You know, they like to watch you making their burger. That's why when I did the brick-and-mortar, I made it an open kitchen.
Yeah.
So everyone could see us and see everything that we do.
Right. There's no secrets here.
No, yes, exactly.
No, that's interesting. Now, as far as the fresh ingredients, is there any, like, local companies that you deal with ingredients-wise, like, or farms or anything like that?
I wish, because right now we're dealing with the chicken shortage with GFS. So, but no, honestly, Kroger's is really where I get the best produce, I feel like, right now. They're always restocking it and everything, and I feel like it's just the best. I get the most crisp lettuce.
There you go.
I love crisp lettuce.
Yeah, you got to have that good lettuce.
Yes.
And I guess one of the other things is being a differentiator is you are a food truck now. Yes. So that's something else we said. And then obviously 100% local.
Yes.
You're not going to find another Bourbon Bayou Bistro anywhere else.
I don't even think Bourbon Chicken locally.
Yeah.
I mean, not in the Greene County area anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I think Huber is in Montgomery and Dayton is Montgomery. So,
in Greene County, you are the Bourbon Chicken Lady.
I am.
I still think you're the Bourbon Chicken Lady of Dayton, though.
No. No. I used to be.
Yes, I know. But that's what you're known for.
You know, it's bad when your kids like won't go to Walmart with you anymore. They're like, no, Mom. Because everyone wants to stop and talk to the Bourbon Chicken Lady.
Telling you, there's something there. You should just own it and embrace
it.
Right? I'm telling you, could be, you're famous.
Well, thank you.
You're famous.
This video is going to make you famous. No, so.
Exactly. You that's know, how famous I'm you on are. It, yeah, so. Yeah. The Bourbon Chicken Lady, man. I was telling all my buddies about it, and they were stoked.
You know, they're gonna be watching.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next, which is, what is some of your recent successes or milestones that you and your business have achieved?
Just moving from the brick and mortar into the food truck was a process in itself. I had only gotten the food truck I bought it for, you know, a while before I actually like took it out, because it is so big and I was scared to drive it. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a P30 box truck, so it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if I would be brave enough to drive it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a little scary, but I've started learning, so that's one of the milestones, is teaching myself how to drive that food truck and being comfortable and confident.
Yeah.
And not worrying about endangering people's lives, including my own. But that and just getting it, a routine down, getting my footing, because that's so important for me. I always feel like I'm out of control when I don't have a certain routine down. So I knew that was going to be an issue moving out of the restaurant, was trying to figure out, okay, every day, what steps am I going to take to get this open quickly? So that's, just stuff like that, trying to get it, how can I say it? Where I feel like it's not a job anymore.
Getting a quiet generator.
Yes.
What does that look like? I don't even know what that is? I don't. Is it? Gonna, is it?
I didn't either.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that.
It's a little more costly than your average generator.
That makes sense. But what is it? Like, is it?
It just
a part
is,
of the truck now, or is it like something that like
no,
you still take out?
It's its own entity. Okay. Like, can take it out. You know, usually your generator, you put it far away and you run your cords to it because you don't want it to be loud for mm-hmm. people, and you want to be able to hear. But now they've made these quieter generators where, like, they may not be as powerful, mm-hmm. but you can buy two.
Right.
And then you can relay them to each other. But they're more pricey. So the one I paid for right now, I think it was $1,100.
Yeah.
One of these is going to be like $2,000 or $3,000.
Yeah.
And then you got to buy two.
Yeah.
To run what I'm trying to run off of the one I have.
Right.
So until I get some money built back up from the move and everything, mm-hmm. It's just not a smart decision for me to buy one right now.
Right, right.
So
yeah,
in reality,
you got to buy two.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to let a couple events go, which I hated doing. I hate canceling on anything.
Yeah.
But some of them were concerts, though, and I felt like the...
Could one event hypothetically pay for these generators in reality?
No, not really. Not
really?
Not after you figure all of the supplies, the vending fee...
Yeah.
The gas, the generator gas, the propane. You know,
right.
There's so many things that, plus, I have to live. So I have utilities at home. I have a whole home that I'm running. So it's like, you know, maybe it could buy half of one, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I could put back $1,000 to buy, you know.
Right.
But it was so late in the season, there was only a couple events left, like, that I could do. And I let the last two of them go because of the loud generator.
Right.
So, but unfortunately this year, there just wasn't the crowd of people at these events that there usually is. So.
Yeah, so it kind of worked out in your favor, I guess you could say. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, the quiet generators.
So that's what we got to do too as a people. We need to get back out into these events, you know, stuff.
That's
and
a whole
start
other
supporting.
Problem.
Yeah,
people are just chilling and not doing much.
Yeah, it is. Well, because everything's so expensive now.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah,
you're right. Unless it's like a special event.
Yeah.
Then, or has like a history already. The new events are kind of
it's hard.
Tough.
It is.
I'm just glad, knock on wood, that... the Trunk or Treat is our second one that we've done. So the first one was a big success. So
that's
plus, we're not really
awesome.
Selling
I'm
a lot.
To be
we're
a part
we're
of
giving
this.
Out free candy, so like I feel like it's more like easier on people.
Yes.
So
and these Trunk or Treats, they're becoming really popular now. Like I did the Xenia Food Truck Rallies last year, and there was so many people there.
Yeah, I mean, people are into it because it's a chance for the kids to get dressed up.
It is.
Use their costume more than once.
Yes.
Because, I mean, who doesn't like feeling of value? It's like, you're going to sit there and get a costume and the kid uses it once.
I know. I feel
terrible.
Like they should have one every weekend in October.
They really should at different places. Yeah. So that way kids can really get
That's something else for you to organize.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we do something in November for Black Friday. We do Black November.
I like
so
that.
Every day is a Black Friday special.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow.
Calendar will be coming out soon, by the way.
That's awesome. Yes. Well, let me know. I will, blow it up on my Facebook
Absolutely.
Page.
Absolutely. That's how we do it. So Black November.
Black November.
That's right.
I told you I was going to whisper sometime.
Hey,
it just sounds so cool.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Got to get into it. Let's move to number 6 point, which is some challenges you face as a small business owner or leader in Dayton. Winter, I know you're worried about.
Yes,
so
I am.
Let's talk about winter. Winter's coming,
it
as
is.
They say.
A few nights ago, I really realized winter was coming.
Yeah.
It was so cold. Now it's so hot.
Yeah.
Ohio just doesn't know what it wants to do, but... getting the truck winterized and ready is a thing. I've never ran in a food truck in the winter.
Yeah.
I've always been under a tent. So it was...
So does it have heat?
It does not have heat.
So
no.
You will have to provide heat somehow.
I do. And I figured out a way to run a cord directly from the generator into a heater.
Okay.
because the food truck has its own breaker box and everything, but I'm just a little nervous to plug it in. I don't want to mess anything up. So I just ran its own separate cord, and it does fine. But I just don't, because like the water heater is kind of external and internal. So it's, I don't know, you know, if it will bust. I don't know what is going to happen. We'll see.
Yeah. If you have the water heater on, I would imagine it'd be okay.
Well, at night, it won't be plugged into the generator. True. So now I only run the one cord, and it only plugs in one side. So
So that might be what.
And that side is not the one plugged in.
I wonder if you have to drain. You might have to drain it. How big is the water heater? 5 gallon?
No, it's an Insta heater, so like it doesn't have a tank like that.
Oh, so it's like tankless.
It's like the new thing they came out with for mobile homes and stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's like you instantly have hot water.
So do you fill the truck up with
but
water?
But it's a 20. The truck has a 25 gallon tank.
Yeah.
So it's huge.
Yeah. Huh.
Like I couldn't drain it.
Right. I guess it'll be all right. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. I've been putting the heater like on the ground towards it. So that's part of getting it winterized. I've been working on it.
Yeah. I would imagine they make it so it doesn't freeze.
I would think somehow. So, because it's a mobile home freezer heater. So I'm hoping it'll be okay.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see.
I get it. Challenges of the winter.
Yes, exactly. And this is learning. So,
yeah. It's part of the process.
It is.
Now, the other thing you said, basic stuff as well that's been going on with the economy right now. You know, inflation has obviously been a issue as
well.
Yes,
for sure.
Have you been able to keep your prices at the same level, or did you?
There's just like a couple things I think I changed, but not many. The burger went from 3 to 5 because they went up so high.
Yeah.
Just the things that really went up super high for me is the only things that I've changed.
Yeah.
Even though chicken is super high, it is so high. But I just feel like everything is so expensive, you know, and I always try to look as being a single mom, taking your kids out and trying to find something for everyone that you can afford.
Yeah.
So I tried to make my menu like that, but I need to start being more business oriented and thinking like that, you know, because but I try to do a little of both, I guess.
Right.
I try to keep it, you know, not so high so that way people can afford it.
Yeah.
But also I need to, you know, make money as well. So.
Right, yeah.
And stuff has just gone up so high, especially groceries.
Oh, I know. It's the number one thing that's went up. It's gone up.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, not just a small amount.
Yeah. So, like, when people go to restaurants and they have raised their prices, you know, don't be upset with them because, like, our chicken went from, like, 30-something a case all the way up to, like, 80-something a case.
Wow. More than double.
Yeah. Now it's 60-something a case. So, I mean, it's gone down a little bit, but it's still very high.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I understand, like, so we've been able to manage our prices. So I've been happy and grateful for that. Like I said, knock on wood.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, it's, and in some cases we've actually gotten them lower, which is wild.
Wow.
But that's also because we had a massive spike at the beginning. So it went like crazy. And then all of a sudden prices went insane.
Okay.
And then they went and they crashed down. So now they're starting to level back up again.
Gotcha.
So it's been like this weird roller coaster. I'm hoping that the new norm is not higher.
I know, me too, because now I feel like...
I don't know. It might be because, like I said, inflation's really kind of crushed it.
Yeah, and rent, you know...
It's part of inflation,
for these homes, and stuff. I feel like I feel so bad, you know, because I feel like rent's doubled for a lot of people, you know, these poor families and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people are what I call
house poor. I'm so
grateful
mine didn't, yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really kind of sad. I saw where it said the average rent is now $2,000 a month in this country.
Yeah.
So if you do the math, and the math is this, you're supposed to have your rent or your mortgage not be more than 1/3 of your monthly income.
Oh, God.
So if that's the case, then that means for $2,000 to be the average, that means you would be needing to make a $6,000 a month income.
Right.
You multiply that by 12, that's 76 or 73,000.
You know how many people are making that?
I should know this math. What is it? 12 or 7 or 12 times 6. So, yeah, that's 72. Sorry.
Yeah.
72 is what I meant to say. $2,000 a year. Now, $72,000 a year is not the average income.
No, it's not.
So, by the rules of math, because math doesn't lie.
No,
it's emotionless.
It doesn't.
It just states numbers. It means people are house poor. It means people are overpaying for housing.
Yeah.
End of story. So, the numbers make sense that we're there.
Yeah.
So, for it to continue to keep going up is crazy thinking because it's an unattainable thing.
That's why you hear so many people doing gig jobs now and doing passive income things because they need it.
So, if that's the case, that's the average. And our average, I don't know what it is. I have to look it up. But I think last time I checked, it was like in the 40s. That's a gap. Just say it's 45,000.
That's almost double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that means, you know, it takes a while for the wages to get back up.
Yes.
To that.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, when the wages do go up to that, that causes more inflation.
Yeah, it does.
So it doesn't ever solve the problem.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah, so it's sad, and hopefully people survive during this process.
Yeah,
but right now we are house poor. People are house poor. So either a correction in the market will happen, meaning the market will crash and the housing will go down just like it did back in 2009.
Right, yeah.
Which honestly probably is more likely than wages getting up faster.
Right, yeah, true. One of the other things like that is a challenge is which I don't think we talked about was third-party delivery services for restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, like DoorDash.
30%. Yeah, yeah, so many people.
So is it that big of a number, 30%?
Yeah. Oh, it is 30%. And what I don't understand is, and if somebody returns items, guys, it comes out of our pocket. Like
really?
DoorDash does not cover. Oh, yeah, DoorDash does not cover that. So, you know, please don't call and do a fraudulent claim, you know, or say you didn't get this and that, because it really does affect the small business owners. But so they take 30%, and so many people are ordering on this DoorDash. So I'm like, if people are house poor and they don't have the money, you know, like I can't. Last night, someone was picking up a little small meal. They said it was going all the way past Dayton, and they had paid $16 delivery fee. So that's not even including what they paid me for the food.
Yeah.
So I'm like, gosh, people are just spending money like this on this delivery service.
Yeah. It's
so
wild.
Yeah,
it really is.
And I mean, the DoorDash in the last 4 or 5 months alone has just skyrocketed.
Yeah. No, so everyone's using DoorDash.
They are.
Everyone's using Uber Eats. Mm-hmm. Everyone, I don't know if you're on that.
Yeah. I am. Yeah.
Yeah. That one goes even further.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've seen stuff from Centerville get delivered from here.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
It's wild.
It is.
But
unfortunately, it's a thing now. So either you got to be on DoorDash or you're not going to get those sales. And, you know.
Well, it's food that it's generated sales that you would never got.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's really what it comes down to.
It is.
If I'm coming to your truck, I'm not going to use DoorDash.
No, right.
Right.
But the idea now is what a lot of companies or what people are trying to get us to do now is create our own e-commerce store, which I already have one.
Yeah.
And that would be my delivery service, DoorDash, but they would only get paid a $6.99 fee. They wouldn't get 30% of my sales.
Gotcha.
So
if you can run it through your own website.
Yes, and then they would just get the $6.99 delivery fee, but they wouldn't get 30%.
Makes sense.
Myself.
I was wondering why McDonald's and Wendy's and all that were doing that.
Yeah.
Or even pizza places are doing that
too.
Yeah,
they are. Yes. That's right.
Yeah. So I was like, why are they doing that? Mm-hmm. And it all makes sense.
That's
now.
Why.
Because it's cheaper.
It is. And they don't have to pay a delivery driver. You know, the customer pays the delivery fee. So they just kind of transfer it over.
Yeah.
So that's what a lot of people are trying to get us to do as well.
Interesting.
And, but it's just so hard. You know, when people are so used to going to DoorDash, if, you know, they might see you on there and then want to order your stuff as opposed to them just craving your food and getting on your store and ordering it.
Right.
So you do have more, I guess, where you get seen more, you know, you're getting seen more on there than, or you're getting put in people's minds, I guess you could say.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah, you're getting more of a window.
Yes, yeah. Of opportunity to be somebody to order from you.
So it's that catch 22. You kind of got to stay on it, but you're also trying to combat those fees.
It is.
You're trying to figure it out. Yep. That's interesting. Because I didn't know exactly how all that worked.
So that's a big, you know, thing.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
That we face.
No, I'm sure it is. Yeah. DoorDash. But like you said, though, I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine running your business without it?
Now, no. I mean, it would be tough, and people don't like change. So I feel like even if I did change it and take the DoorDash away and try to run with my e-commerce store, it's going to be so hard to get people to change to do that. Right. You know, so.
Yeah, and they kind of know that.
Yeah. Hmm. So you're kind of stuck.
Right. Now, the other thing we were talking about, is just, hiring the right people.
Yes.
So, I don't know how far or how deep you want to get into that, but that's up to you. But
it's just like with everybody, it's hard to, find help right now. I feel like the stimulus checks did a lot, and stuff. So, people just don't want to work a lot like they used to.
Right.
And I think it's maybe starting to get a little better. I don't know. thank God for the food truck because I only need a few people. I could do it myself if I want. That's another good thing about it. I'm just not a very assertive person, so it's hard to be a boss when you're not assertive. And I don't want to change my whole character. So I just try. I feel like this is the much better route for me. I don't need a whole full crew.
Right.
So we'll let somebody else do all that.
Yeah.
So, but I did meet a lot of nice people, and I had some really great employees, and then I had some really not great employees. Right. So, but so that's just like with everyone. So.
Yeah. Well, no, I understand. So, yeah, going down to a food truck, I get that. You definitely would have to deal with less employees. So,
yes.
So that probably makes it a little bit easier. One less thing to do.
It does.
To get things done. Well, let's move to number 7, which is how do you collaborate with other local businesses and organizations to support the community? I know one of the things we talked about was the Trunk or Treat, which is coming up.
That is right. I will be with you.
Yes.
Discount Furniture.
This will probably be airing after, but yes.
Oh, shucks. Yeah, that's okay.
That's okay. At least they'll know.
Darn it, we can't plug that show. That stinks.
It's the after the plug.
Yes, that's right. But yes, we're going to be doing the Trunk or Treat out there. And then I do want to show up for all the events. And I did try this year, but then the generator thing. Right. But just showing up for all the events. So, if people maybe, my followers will come, because they know I'm going to be there. Right. Stuff like that. So just trying to do little things like that, just being like with Sugar Melons in the parking lot, stuff like that, and Exclusive. I feel like I just try to post and get the word out for them as well. Just letting people put it in their minds if they haven't thought about Sugar Melons in a while. Well, hey, Sugar Melons, so I just try to post. And anytime I see something on my page that I see a local business, from the strip or anywhere in town. Yeah. I try to repost it or on my page, so maybe try to help get the word out a little.
Yeah, so tell us about this comedy club story. Give us the full details here.
That was so fun.
Yes.
It was the first time, too, that the food truck had been driven, because it sat behind the restaurant for, years.
Right.
You
had it for 4 years. Yeah, so it probably did. It sat three back at there, least.
And I think I only used it once or twice.
Yeah.
But I went to the round table with it. That's right. In Xenia. Yeah. But other than that, it hadn't really been driven any far places. So it started overheating on the way there. So that was a thing. I was so nervous I was going to be late. And I was going to be the only food there at the Chappelle Comedy Club in Yellow Springs, and 50 Cent was going to be there. Yeah. So I was like, I got to be there. I got to feed this man.
Yeah.
And Dave.
Yes.
So it was a journey in itself just getting us there, but we made it and set up and had a great night. Everyone was so kind there and welcoming, and I got to feed 50 Cent and Dave Chappelle. They came and got six plates and six cornbreads, and then an hour and a half later, they came back down and got six more because they wanted to take some home with them. So I thought that was a big compliment.
Yeah.
And then at closing time, Dave came and got six more, so it took home. So they must have really liked it and everything. We got really good feedback from that show. Yeah. So, and who doesn't want to feed 50 Cent and Dave Chappelle? So,
of course, that's cool as hell.
I mean, you know, I'm basically famous now. If you want me to call him, I can.
There you go.
I'm just kidding. But it sounds good to tell people that.
No, I understand. That's cool. Yeah, no, it sounds like you helped make his night, and he made your night as well, so it was a wonderful mutual agreement.
It was.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I feel like they're doing so much for the community, too. They really do. They put on some comedy shows and give to United Way all the proceeds and stuff, so they do a lot.
Yeah, no, that's true. They do a ton of different stuff for the community. I remember when went downtown for... After the shootings, Dave did that big block party there.
Yes, so that's huge. And that's right.
I mean, I just remember hearing about it. I was like, there's no way. Yeah. There's no way you can get that done that quick. Mm-hmm. That is insanely fast.
Oh, like, you'd be surprised.
How do you get past all the red tape? And he just said, we're doing it.
Yep,
I don't care what anyone says. We're doing
it. He has a really good assistant, Heather.
And we're getting it all done. And he did. So it's amazing. I have 100% faith that if... He wants to get something done.
Yes.
He has proven that he can get it done.
Because he's awesome.
He is. He's a good dude. I've met him actually like 5 or 6 times.
I just have a lot of respect for him because I feel like
I don't know if he remembers me. He's always been out and about.
I'm sure he does.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
I'm sure he remembers you.
You know, I told him a terrible joke once. A terrible joke. And he was just like, it was right after Robin Williams died.
Oh, gosh.
And he was like, man, Robin Williams is my friend. And
oh,
I was like,
God.
Oh, dude, I was just trying to pull a joke, you know, just being a stupid dumbass, you know. But,
right.
Yeah, I felt bad after that. So he might remember me because that joke was bad.
You left an impression on him, a lasting impression.
Yeah, yeah. And he smoked cigarettes, so I smoked a couple cigarettes with him. Back in the day at the old Fox and Hound, that's right.
We used to hang out there.
Oh, I used to hang out there a lot on Tuesdays.
Oh, okay.
And he'd roll up with his crew on Tuesdays
with
as well.
His crew, his entourage.
He did, and he was super cool. And
I just have a lot
of
respect.
And everyone treated him with respect, you know.
Yeah,
everyone knew,
for sure.
Like, you know, no one was like, hey, let's get pictures and all that.
Yeah, he does.
And I would too if I was him.
I have a lot of respect for him, though, because he did keep it local. He stayed local.
Yeah.
I mean, he could go anywhere, you know, and he chose to feed the community, you know, with whatever he can, you know, with his merchandise store, stuff like that, just keeping people coming into the community.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an attraction.
To spend their money in town and
people
stuff.
People hear that's about Yellow Springs.
Oh, yeah,
they know
for sure.
That, so then they're like, oh, man. Okay, I'm in Dayton. I'm hitting Yellow Springs up. You know, that's something
I really look up to him because of that.
That he definitely developed.
Yes,
for
sure. Which
definitely brings people into that town, which ultimately spreads awareness of Yellow Springs.
It does.
Because let's be real, Yellow Springs is a very, very unique town.
It is. It's an awesome town, though.
It's really cool.
I've met so many cool people.
Yeah, yeah. I've always enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Even when I was younger, I used to go there. And I just... It's interesting because I feel like when you're younger, you can feel energy more.
You can,
When you're older, it's like it kind of fades. I don't know what happens. But I just remember the energy I felt when I was younger.
Yes.
Just walking around in the town. Mm-hmm. It was just there.
And the beautiful nature parks.
Yeah.
John Bryan,
yeah, all
Glenn
of it
Helen,
there. It was just a thriving sixth sense of an energy. I couldn't can't put my finger on.
Yeah. I remember going to camp at Glen Helen. when I was a kid.
My dad used to drive limos part-time. He was an FBI agent, and he retired from the FBI.
Wow.
And he drove limos around, and he actually drove Dave Chappelle back
a couple of times
from the airport.
That's really neat.
Back in the 90s.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, and he told me. I said, that's so cool.
I know, right?
He's like, yep. He just did it for extra money.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, So yeah, no, that's a very interesting story, and I'm sure we could spend all day talking about Dave.
Right, for sure.
But we're here talking about awesome the bourbon guy. Chicken
that's
lady.
That's right. That's right.
So what's going on currently that excites you? That's got you, you know, any projects or initiatives you've got going on? I think we talked about the food truck in general, getting that to you know, A plus shape. I guess
it pretty much takes up all of my time right now. Just because there's so many things I want to do with it to get it, you know, to where I am so comfortable driving it and keeping everyone safe and stuff. So I have just been working on, now that I don't have the brick and mortar, I can invest in it.
Yeah.
So
that's nice. So you can actually put money back into it. It's yours. You own it.
Exactly.
And then you're not, you know, you're getting the longevity out of it.
Yes, for sure. So that's basically... So
other than the generators, what are some other things that you wanted to do to get the truck in tip-top shape?
Really, it's an older truck, so I just want to gut the whole... I just want to gut it, honestly. Yeah. Like, not the interior.
Right.
But I want to gut, like, the engine and transmission, and I just want to start over. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know,
motor.
How long or who's worked on that stuff. I don't know how long it's been... You know, there's so many things. So I just want to make sure that I get everything fixed or changed. Not necessarily fixed, because nothing's really broken.
Yeah.
But it's just old, and I'm scared to get out on a trip or go far and then it break.
You just want to make sure it's 100% dependable and it's good to go. Yes. And that's fair. That's very fair.
So, you know, put back $10,000 or so and try to get it, you know, gutted and stuff engine-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool to have a whole new engine and stuff like that. So
a rebuild or something like that.
Yes, a rebuild engine.
Okay, that's cool. That's a pretty big initiative.
Yes, it is. I feel like I would feel more confident going far and stuff. Like, because I get invited to so many things, and I want to go to all of these things.
Yeah,
but I'm just scared. You know, I don't want to get out in it and then it break down.
Be stranded.
And now they don't have bourbon chicken, or now they don't have. You know, their food.
Yeah.
So I don't want to disappoint anyone. So unfortunately, I just turn a lot of them down in for now. But once I get it together, I'll be there for everybody.
There you go.
Their events.
Have you ever done any like weddings?
I haven't. I don't even know how to price a wedding, honestly. That's another thing that I need to work on is now people are renting food trucks for parties.
You may not even need to do the truck, though. You could probably just do a grill.
I've catered a lot of stuff. I've catered weddings, and I've catered, you know, tons of graduation parties.
I know that you've made chicken. I remember I bought it from my employees once. We got like, I don't know, it was like 10 meals or something did, and you hooked it up. And
I do that.
Did a nice foil thing, and we did that, and that was cool.
I do a lot of those. That's probably pretty easy to, you know, it is. And I always have a lot of chicken on hand usually, so it's not 24 hours notice. I can whip you up a catering.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Now
that.
You hooked me up with like 3 hour notice.
Yeah. Or that.
Really nice. Yes. I know
Well, it depends on who you are.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. You don't want to advertise that.
No.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah.
24 hours notice.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure. We're going to be wrapping it up. So tell us, how do we get a hold of you? What's the best way to reach out and see where you're at? And
the
all
best
that?
Way is to either message the Facebook page.
Okay.
A generated message will come back to you in a response. Just don't pay attention to it.
What is the Facebook page? What do they type in?
The Bourbon Bayou Bistro.
Okay, Bourbon Bayou Bistro. Yep.
And the website, my e-commerce store is on there. So it is the Bourbon Bayou Bistro. .com www.thebourbonbayoubistro.com
Of course.
That long thing.
Yeah.
And then you can call in orders, like even during the winter months. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need a lot of support, guys, so come there for me. But just call it in at 937-860-9474. Give us the make and model of your vehicle and we'll run it to the car with
There you go.
For you, so you don't even have to get out of the car.
So you're saying literally just leave a message?
No, we'll answer.
Oh, okay.
No, we'll answer.
Okay.
I mean, during business hours.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing that's been going on now is it's hard to keep normal business hours with chicken shortages and, you know, everything else. not knowing when you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So that's why I've been staying open later and stuff right now. So.
Yeah.
Just working on trying to get it all together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good now. I mean, wintertime, you know, it might people.
Yeah, exactly.
When the sun goes down, it's 5, so, 6 o'clock.
But I mean, I did it in a tent, and yeah. That's what we did there is we did a lot of call-ins. They would just call us, and we'd run it to the car and take the little phone credit card reader, and that would be that. And we did really well under the tent in Xenia.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping Fairborn will come out for me this
time. Right, right. Mm-hmm. How do you stay warm, though, with the tent?
In my car. Yeah. And then we had the donut shop. So.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I pretty much always had a building or an enclosure or something.
Yeah, to at least heat up.
You know, yeah, of course. I'm not going to make them be out there in the freezing cold like that, you know. Yeah. I would always make sure, you know, that they can have somewhere to stay warm. I don't want them ever getting sick or, you know, being the reason. So. Right.
Of course. Well, with the truck this year, you should hopefully be able to keep it warm.
And the and grill in there is a big spot in the truck, so it keeps it warm.
I was going to say, that's hot, too, yeah.
But there's a lot of openings because it is a P-30 box truck.
Yeah.
So, and it was an old Snap-on tool truck, so it wasn't built, you know, for a food truck.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of little nooks and crannies that I'm going to work on getting sealed and stuff. So,
okay.
You know, I'm trying to figure out all of that stuff, so that's part of winterizing it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Any words of wisdom that you'd like to leave us on and on a positive note?
I'm going to speak from Bob Marley, which is one of my personal favorites. It is dumb. Don't worry, be happy.
Yes.
That's what I want to live by right now. I spent so much time worrying that now I just want to kind of not worry and be happy.
All right. Well, good words of wisdom. Live by it.
I'm going to.
All right. I have faith. And I can't wait to, you know, get my bourbon chicken on. You know, thinking about it makes me want it now.
Thank you. I'm going to go open here right now. You can come in an hour.
There you go. I might have to stop by.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming out. And
I hope this makes you famous.
Oh, I believe it's going to make you famous.
All right. I'll take it.
All right. Until next time, Jen.
All righty, man.
Subscribe and follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at daytonapproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.